Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is the weekend, although it's a long weekend. We've already had a couple days break, hopefully, or most of us have. Happy belated Thanksgiving. It is the Saturday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am Jason Perrone of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, Game On Wisconsin, and the Quick Slants Podcast, along with Matt Frelick of the Pack-A-Day Podcast and the Final Dump Podcast over at Game On Wisconsin. Paul Brettle is with his family enjoying the Thanksgiving weekend. We will miss him this week. So it's Matt and I. Matt, happy belated Thanksgiving to you, sir. How are we doing?
I'm good. Same to you. Excited to get into the first leftover plate here after we get done recording. I think that's an underrated aspect of Thanksgiving. I had the classic turkey sandwich last night, but I'm ready to hit all the sides after we get done recording here and get to talking some Packers, see what this injury report looks like, seeing these LA Rams come to Lambeau, and we're getting to the thick of like a playoff hunt here where we're trying to align, at least get the Packers aligned in the right situation.
Yeah, six games left to go. It's crazy how fast the season's moving through. All right, so I have to ask you, because everybody's got different iterations, so what goes on your leftover turkey sandwich, including all of the condiments as well?
I try to get kind of creative with it. Like last night, it was just a little wheat bread toasted with some mayo. Today, I'll have the full access to all the leftovers. We might go a little cranberry on it. I'm trying to think what else. Stuffing, that the stuffing consistency has to be important. It was a decent type of stuffing, so we might go with that. But it's going to kind of just how I feel when I get in there. If you got a little cheese maybe sitting around too, that's always nice. A little pair that in there. I don't have any greens or anything. That would have been elite. I try to mix it up other than just meat. So
right.
But we're not going sandwich, I don't think. Sandwich will probably be tomorrow afternoon. Okay.
Yeah, all right. So you said full access. I'm curious. So that's interesting. So you had partial access. You had access to the turkey, but not everything. So does somebody do you have family members that kind of hoard certain sides? And
so I was at my girlfriend's parents, and they, after I took my post nap during the halftime of the Cowboys Raiders game, they packed up a to go box for me of just like a bag of stuff. But only thing they had to pick from when I got up later was just the turkey was in like a Tupperware in the fridge. So that was the only thing that was accessible. Everything else was kind of already eaten up or portioned away for me or Andrea or whoever else. So at my parents, usually it's like just everything's left over. Besides the mashed potatoes, my brother goes wild on those. So we'll have the sweet potatoes left over, corn, stuffing, turkey, maybe some gravy. So it's, yeah, you try to piece it together, whatever you can, whatever thing else, anything else that's left over in the fridge, you kind of throw it all together.
That's the best part. It is the best part of Thanksgiving. That's awesome. Very cool. Well, glad you had a good one. I know we were talking before we started recording. It was a crazy game between the Raiders and the Cowboys. The Cowboys dropped, which helps the Packers. Raiders with a big victory there. A lot of flags. A lot of talk about the flags. That was the same crew that the Packers and Vikings just had in Minnesota. And I'll just say it's not the Packers and Vikings show, but I personally am not blaming the refs for anything last weekend, the Packers game against the Minnesota Vikings. I think they had their chances. And honestly, I thought they actually, as many calls as there were, I think they got them mostly right. So If there's one good thing we can say, it's unfortunate the Packers didn't play more disciplined football, but I think they got it right, and that's what you want. It's all you can hope for is that they do their best to try to get it right on the field. So you already alluded to it, Matt. The Packers will come back to work at home against the Rams and look to get back on track. They've got their bye week looming next week. You always want to hope that the Packers are going to focus on the task at hand before they get too into their off week. The players have probably been looking forward to this for a long time. Packers are really banged up, really beat up. We're obviously going to talk about the injury report, which is out. The Packers did turn in their practice designations for Friday, which completes the week of practice. But as always, before we jump into that, we got to talk about the weather. So Paul's not here. You're going to carry the torch for the Green Bay locale. I don't think we have anybody in Europe. I've got our friend Harry in Kamloops, Canada, but he's west. So Matt, take it away. What is the weather looking like right now, and what can we expect on Sunday at Lambeau Field?
As a record, 30 degrees. It's been a little bit breezy here the last week, too. The wind's definitely been picking up, only 10 degrees right now. But it's been cold, man. It's that traditional, you know, fall weather. I was fortunate enough a week or so ago to get all the leaves off my yard, waiting for the city to come pick those up. I don't know if that's going to happen. It seems like everyone had leaves fall late, not trees. Potentially some snow tomorrow or Saturday as you guys are listening to this, 1 to 2 inches. Looks like maybe a little 4 o'clock afternoon. So we'll see what that dusting does for the game on Sunday when the Packers play. Jason mentioned this before recording. It seems like they're getting kind of exempt from actually having any crazy weather when they're playing in Lambeau. So that 1 to 2 inches will fall on Saturday. Sunday, 36 degrees for the high, sunny. It looks like a fairly decent weather game. You'd hope it would be a little bit poor weather, being it's an LA team coming out here, normally playing in a dome. Not a lot of those guys are used to the elements, so unfortunately, that's not going to be the case, but anything could change. And then Monday, we got some snow coming too. So maybe they'll hit that pocket just right where it'll be a nice game. But overall, it looks like the traditional Thanksgiving weather for the Packers. Maybe a little bit even unseasonably warm. 36 degrees isn't halfway decent for late November.
Well, I was just going to ask you, though, Matt, when they play these late afternoon games, it's almost like a night game. So talk me through it's great at 3:15 when they kick off, but what are we looking at by the time it's dark and 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the fourth quarter?
That's a great thing to mention, because like you go down there, and if I'm going to the game, I'm not. I know I have some friends that are coming to the game, and I know they'll try to get down there about noon, right? And like that's high noon. It's going to be nicer. You're going to get some drinks going, moving around a little bit, and get some food in you. And by the time you get settled in your seats, you're like, okay, this is decent. But the worst part, just like every game, is like when that 5 o'clock, 4:45 rolls around, that second half is you're waiting during halftime, and all the body heat disperses, right? And by the time you leave the game, like you're kind of a little bit chilled. So it's definitely important to dress for the weather elements, especially around this time of the year, because you could get caught off guard. Like you wake up, it's looking 30 plus degrees, it's not freezing, you can go out and kind of maybe have the coat unzipped or whatnot, maybe even have the hat, stocking cap on top of the head, not even worried about the ears. And by the time you get out of there, it's going to be damn cold. You might even have to scrape off the car. And who knows, maybe some snow will roll in and it'll turn it into a wild 3:25 game. But yeah, you got to be careful on these times of years. You don't want to get too warm, too sweaty. All of a sudden you're gonna catch a cold.
Yeah. For sure. Well, that's that home field advantage, and the Packers definitely want to try to hang on to that. They had it last year. It got them all the way to the NFC Championship game, along with obviously some very solid football play, and we were talking about that home field advantage. So as we turn our attention to, well, I guess we got to do the rest of the weather. I forgot about myself. So 75 degrees and sunny right now as we sit in the Phoenix area. High of 75, anywhere from 79 to 81 and sunny for the next week. So I will send as much as I can over that way. I'll send it to the Packers side of the bench, but not to the visitors side of the bench.
No.
I want those visitors to get every possible ounce of Wisconsin November that they can. So beautiful weather over here. Our friend Harry in Kamloops, Canada, which is on the western side of Canada, high of 41, low of 30. That doesn't sound actually too bad if it's above freezing, right? He's got saying that morning flurries on Saturday, and he said he lives on the north side of the mountain. They don't get direct sunshine on his property until the end of January because of the tilt of the or where he's located and how north he is. Could you imagine? So they don't not get light, but he doesn't get any direct sunlight. Could you imagine, like, no direct sunlight? That's crazy.
And with just, whatever mountain he's talking about, yeah, that's an accident. But no, I couldn't do it with that. You think about those people. I mean, you never really don't think about Canada all that often with sun like that. You always think of like Alaska, and you always talk about that in like in school. But yeah, that's I don't know if I could deal with that. No direct sunlight. That wouldn't work for me.
Nuts, totally nuts. Mm-hmm, but so the weather is a factor. I mean, you know, I know we kind of, you know, tongue in cheek talk about it every week, but this is when it becomes a factor when you're in late season. This is when the things, you know, and I'll just say this too. Mason Crosby's not in the injury report, Matt. And I don't know if you, I don't think you guys touched on the final dump. By the way, folks, you've got to, well, first of all, I know Andy's okay with us cross, you know, promoting our shows. And so Game On Wisconsin, get over there and follow those shows and that group over there. Just some great content. I do the Quick Science podcast twice a week, once on Sunday and another one on Thursday. Matt, you and Brendan do your final dump show that comes out on Fridays. Great show this past week, although I'll address why it was a little difficult for me to listen. It was great content, but it was tough for me, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Mason Crosby, he's not injured, but man, it's been a struggle, and he struggled and he missed another kick. Now, that was indoors, no weather. There's really not a whole lot to blame there. I'll just say this. This is, when we talk about the weather, this is one of the reasons why I say Mason Crosby is a train wreck, and the Packers absolutely have to stick with him, because he has 15 years worth of experience kicking in Lambeau Field in December. And with everything the Packers still have in front of them, which is a postseason run and a chance to go play deep into the playoffs and hopefully further than that, do you really want to risk, just to send a message and because you're mad, do you really want to risk somebody coming in here in midseason and they're not ready for the moment and they can't hit that 45-yarder in January? Crosby's done it, right? You got to stick with, I'll say, the devil that you know, but I'm not saying that Crosby's so bad that he's devilish. He has been so good. And not only that, Matt, but twice we've stuck with him through a slump and he's come out of it and been very good afterwards.
And it's not all his fault, right? Like, you look at, you know, J.K. Scott's not there. I know it's been the full year. Horquist has been there holding. They've had some issues along the way. Obviously, Hunter Bradley not being the long snapper has affected it probably, I would say, about half as much as it is on Mason Crosby. And it's some of it on Mason right now, I think, is a little bit mental. You see most of these kicks where he's kicking and he's instantly looking at Bohorquez or instantly looking at Hunter Bradley, and then all three of our 100 are on Mo Drayton on the sideline. So I think it's a little bit on Mace, or it's a lot of it on Mace, but he's got to take a little bit more accountability. But you're going to have this tough patch, man. Like, you have a career like Mason has, you're going to have some of these, and it kind of goes in waves with him. It's at least somewhat of a pattern. So you would think he would, at this rate, would get through it by mid-December and things will be figured out. I think he just needs a little bit of swagger back. That's really all it is. Maybe he hits a big one this weekend in the elements and there's a little snow out there, a little frost, and he's able to, you know, boot a 50 plus yarder through and he figures it out. So I think he'll come back, but it's tough right now for Mace. You kind of feel for him. A lot of outdoor games coming up too. Bears, Ravens, Browns,
Vikings,
obviously not the Vikings, will be at home as well. So it's like 4 to 5 after this week will be all outdoor games in the elements. So hopefully at that point he can figure some stuff out. But it's tough. No, you're not going to get rid of, I mean, you're not going to put in a sub for Mason. You've tried that number of times in preseason. It's never worked out. I was calling for it a couple years ago, which was really stupid of me. And at the end of the day, like, you got to trust too. He'll figure it out. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that at some point he'll figure, because he's even had glimpses of it recently where it's like, okay, he's good. And then like, he's kind of reverting back. So I think he's progressing through like the really bad game he had a few weeks ago. But end of the day, there's no way you'd ship off for Mason Crosby or put him on the bench. Like, that would just be ludicrous, because there's not that many damn good kickers in the league like he is.
Do you want to be do you honestly want to sit there as a fan and watch the Packers not go to a Super Bowl because the kicker didn't hit a walk-off 35-yarder at Lambeau Field? Why I'm like, stick with your guy. Stick with your guy, because the weather's turning, like you said, Matt. And I was listening to the Wendy's Big Show, and I reference it a lot. And Gary Ellerson was talking about, former Packer, he's played at Lambeau Field. He was talking about how these late afternoon games and late in the season are almost really like, you know, kind of quasi-night games. And that can become a big advantage if the Packers are conditioned to it and the Rams. Now, the Rams played in January in a playoff game against the Packers, so it's not like they're unfamiliar with it. But so the injury report, as we look at this matchup here, some players the same. Aaron Donald's coming after Aaron Rodgers and the Rams defense. The Packers offense gets the second week in a row against a really good defense in the NFC that they're probably or likely to see again in the postseason. But injury-wise, it's a pretty long list of guys, but we'll start with the guys that are not going to play. David Bakhtiari, once again, did not practice. Now, we did learn this week that he had a scope on his surgically repaired knee, his ACL, which made a lot more sense as far as why he was not practicing. So David Bakhtiari, not at practice. He will not play. He's ruled out for this week, so he will not make his debut before the bye week, as many of us opined. And then missing his second game in a row is Malik Taylor. He has an abdomen injury, didn't practice at all, will not play. Kind of the same thing that I said last time. Malik Taylor is it's a big one because he's a special teams contributor. He was your backup kick returner. He's been really good in that role. And while offensively he hasn't been very good, when he's had to step in, he has been really good. Fortunately, the Packers have been able to roll with their preferred starters at wide receiver, but Malik Taylor will not play. And then sticking with the wide receiver group, Alan Lazard is listed as questionable. He was limited in practice all 3 days with a shoulder injury. So if the Packers can get Lazard back, that's a big shot in the arm for them in a game, coming off of a game where they had to lean on, and I think they did okay in leaning on Davante Adams. Marquez Valdes-Scantling has this amazing catch and run, you know, one of the fastest runs of the season in the NFL, you know, the speedster, Randall Cobb. This is why you've got Randall Cobb, because Amari Rodgers is not ready yet. So Alan Lazard kind of tips things a little bit here as far as that goes. Those are all three offensive. We'll kind of start with that. Well, I guess if we're going to stick on offense, Matt, Aaron Jones also listed as questionable. He practiced all 3 days. He was limited all 3 days. So offensively, that's the run of show there. And those are most of your injuries. There's one on defense we'll get to, but let's talk about that. No Bakhtiari, no surprise there. Malik Taylor, special teams contribution, won't be out there. And then you've got Alan Lazard and Aaron Jones, who are both questionable in a game that the Packers really do need to focus their attention on and try to grab, because you don't want, against any of these teams they're going to see later in the season, you want them to have to come back to Green Bay. You don't want to have to go on the road.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the tough thing, it's crazy because we talked yesterday on the final dump, Brendan and I are, and I, at this point, it was like Lazard, he might not go. And then when Malik Taylor gets, you know, he's out for the game, it's like, oh shoot, now they're really down to like who's left. You mentioned all the guys contributed last week. EQ, he also had a decent game last week in his limited amount of time. It's, you know, he's gonna have to contribute this week as well, along with Randall Cobb. MVS, if him and Rodgers can find a connection again after there's been some time that he's been off the field. And you saw that it was a struggle in Minnesota, and Aaron even spoke to that a little bit in his press conferences this week and on Pat McAfee. So if they can get a connection going, that would help a ton for this offense to get flowing. But without 33 there, man, it really limits things. You know, just the versatility, what you're able to line him up as and motion him out, motion him in, get some matchups out of the backfield. It's tough. Like, you don't get that from AJ Dillon, and obviously you don't get that from Patrick Taylor. And then Robert Tonyan being out, like, you look at him as you know, he wasn't having a great year before he got injured. Always sure-handed though, can chip on the edge, can line up in different positions, and they're kind of cobbling it together right now with DeGuara, Mercedes Lewis, and Daphne when he's there. And it's just like that. At the end of the day, you're trying to make this offense flow, but you just don't have the right parts to make the engine run at the full capacity as you want. So someone's got to step up. I think a lot of it's going to be probably put on Adams. I would like to see him involved even more last week than he was. I don't know if you can put a 25-30 carry game on the back of AJ Dillon. You probably can try. But I see that as a possibility for them to actually win this game. But overall, like, the offensive line, that's the other spot. Obviously, with Elton Jenkins out, Bakhtiari finding a little bit more out, like his knee, like you mentioned, makes some more sense, because late July, early August, you're like, yeah, he'll be back. And then it's like, oh, no, he'll be back after week 6. And it's been on and on and on and on. And it just hasn't happened yet. So That's a tough thing right now because you didn't get to see one time this year Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins play together. Josh Myers is still out, obviously, and it's just it's a tough blow to not have this offense be at its fullest form when it seemed like we were going to get to there by Thanksgiving, and it just hasn't happened yet because of so many injuries.
Yeah, a lot of guys banged up and hurt, and yeah, did mean to leave Elgton Jenkins out of the conversation because he's not listed on the injury report because he's on injured reserve. Unfortunately, ACL tear, his season is over, and we could be looking at no Elgton Jenkins until 2023 because he's hurt so late in this season that he's likely not going to play for the first part of 2022. It's a long recovery. You've seen David Bakhtiari and what he went through, and this is a dude who is as diligent as it gets when it comes to recovering and rehabbing, and he's still not on the field. So it's not a guarantee that Jenkins is going to be good to go for next season either, so that it's just gutting for the Packers. But when you talk about that depth, you mentioned a couple guys that really encouraged me. Equanimeous St. Brown, this was a guy who's been with the team for four seasons now, and the Packers essentially cut him at the end of the season. He didn't make the roster, and they put him back on the practice squad. And he stepped up and made a couple of really big plays, and he's familiar with this offense. And it's almost one of those things where it's like, man, thank goodness the Packers had him in their back pocket to be able to help throw him out there and get him going on some of those jet motions. And he makes the most of his moments. He does make some mental mistakes. We can't forget about the NFC Championship game. He drops I think he had a 2-point conversion that he had an opportunity to catch. He dropped it. That happens at times, but he has stepped up there. In going with the theme of this season, which is the depth, and you talk about Robert Tonyan, Josiah DeGuara makes his first touchdown catch in what looked like a very Robert Tonyan-esque grab, and these guys aren't going to replace these other, you're not going to replace Tonyan man for man with Josiah DeGuara, but if you can get that kind of production with guys out, then you don't lose as much ground as you could when you look at what the Packers are doing. The big question is, and this is what was so deflating for me on Sunday against Minnesota, was this team has, since the Arizona game, just seen so many guys drop. And they already had injuries. When is it the one too many? And my concern in real time and in the emotion of the moment, I was very, very down because I thought to myself, that's got to be the one too many. And I had flashbacks to the NFC Championship game, Matt. You and I were talking about it a little bit earlier today about how the offensive line really did play a factor. And the Packers got to the NFC Championship game. They were right on the doorstep, and they still could have won if it weren't for a couple of other things. But the pass rush for Tampa was a problem. You had no David Bakhtiari out there. It did end up being an issue. So now you're looking at a situation where hopefully Bakhtiari can come back, but when? We don't know. Elgton Jenkins is gone. He's not coming back. And so the Packers, even if Bakhtiari does come back and play and Josh Myers does come back, you're still going to be without Elgton Jenkins against some really good defenses. So on the one hand, I say the depth is great. Look at what Josiah DeGuara did. Look what EQ did. On the other hand, it's like, when is it the one too many? Do you feel like we've already reached one too many land? I know how you feel about this game, and we're going to talk about that at the end of the show. But do you feel like we've reached one too many-ville? Or are you like, hey, to your point about the depth, no, and keep rolling?
Until it's like definitive that, you know, Rayshon Gary or Zadarius or Jair or David Bakhtiari are out for the season, or, you know, you can throw in Aaron Jones or something, like, I don't think it's there yet, but it's so close. I mean, Elgton and Aaron Jones to me were the number two that really, really hurt because the other ones were kind of taken by surprise. You kind of have some optimism they'll be back just because of how those injuries were. But when you see a knee injury, you expect it to be really, really bad. When you see, you know, Elgton Jenkins go down and just the way everything trickulates out, it's just like the standard ACL tear, right? He goes down in a pile. They show the replay. It doesn't look good. He walks off, which is like, it gives you some hope. But yep, anyone that knows, it's, yep, like ACL, you can still walk.
Jordy gets carted off. Remember when Jordy did it?
Exactly.
Against
his, yep. Exactly. And then he gets carted off. He says he's out for the game. You got the Twitter doctor saying that it's more than likely an ACL. You put some weight into that, and it's basically done within less than 24 hours on the next day when they announce he's out for the season. So it's tough. And I don't think it's completely out of the works yet, because one thing with the offensive line, it's such a depth spot for the Packers. They've invested so much money into it and so many resources. And I've talked to that ad nauseum, and I'm very proud of what they've done with that at the front office. But at some point when you're calling up Ben Braden to get a spot on the roster, like that's a tough game. And I think it's really, really close. I don't know what that tipping point would be. I don't even want to say it. I don't even want to say a player, because it could be on either side of the ball, probably more defensively than offensively. But, you know, there's a certain couple players on the offense that they go down. This season's over, too. So it's close. It really, really is close. But luckily, they have a really, really talented team. And there's been so many superstars that they had, and all pro guys that are going down. Most teams, I don't think, would be able to bounce back from this. And I think it just goes to show what Gutekunst is putting together and how much great depth they have on across this, every side of the ball. If they were to lose some more injuries at the defensive line, that would be detrimental, because they've been thin there for the last couple of years. So, but it's damn close. I won't argue with you. Like if at some point Jair is going to come back, at some point Z should come back, David should be back here shortly, but when's that going to be? And how long can they keep their head above water until another injury happens that's not from an all-pro guy?
Yeah, it's a bye week, too. So I'd like to think, because they said they had a plan with Bakhtiari. Now, I don't think they were expecting him to have a scope. So that throws a wrench into their plan that they had all along when he did return to practice a month ago. And I think you're right. I hope all those guys are able to come back and return. But the question is when. I would like to think that the bye week is a marker, and that the game after the bye, the Bears game at Lambeau Field, is going to be the potential return of David Bakhtiari. I'm hopeful. I don't know. With a scope, I don't know. Maybe that set him back and he's not going to come back until after that. I'm not really sure. But I'm hoping to get some of these guys back. I mean, it sounds like Rashawn Gary has a chance to play in this game, and that's moving on to the defensive side of the ball. I mean, I guess to answer, before we get to that, to answer my own question, I mean, the depth just, like you said, the depth just keeps showing up. And until it doesn't, then we'll know that it's a problem. But I still like the vibe of this team. I mean, Billy Turner's joking around, showing his foot in a press conference on Friday. So it's like this team is still loose. You know, they're still loose. I think they're still out there having fun. I mean, they've got a lot of work to do, but this is another time. This is another game where I'm putting it, some of it, on Matt LaFleur. Earn your bread. Mm-hmm. You've got a shorthanded roster. You've got some guys out on defense. You got some guys out on offense. Now, defensively, I guess let's go there. Matt, because that's the rest of the injury report here. Kevin King is listed as doubtful. He didn't practice at all. He's got a hip and knee injury. He was on the bike a little bit on Friday on the sideline. Didn't practice. And Rashawn Gary, linebacker, is listed as questionable, which is still just, man, this guy, when he was drafted 12th overall, I was not expecting that pick. And I was watching with Jacob Westendorf that draft. And we were watching it virtually because I was on a business trip in L.A. and he was at home in Wisconsin or in Illinois. I'm sure he wishes he was in Wisconsin. And it was, you could hear a pin drop. And I was just like, man, you got to be kidding me. What are they doing? And thank God they did, man. What a dude. He is so dedicated to playing football. He's so dedicated to being great, being a Green Bay Packer, Bane Gary, all that stuff. Like, this dude wants to be out there. This dude wants to win. Like, it can sometimes take guys a lot longer to get mature like that. And you want a guy like that out there. I mean, even I would say he's at the point, and this is a huge compliment to Rashawn Gary, where when you say 80% of a player is better than 100% of certain other guys being out there, that's a huge compliment to Rashawn Gary. And I think that's true. I don't think I'm going overboard. He's been very productive this season. So if Rashawn Gary can get out there and play, now I'm not saying that with this huge clunky brace that he's apparently going to be wearing on his arm, if he plays, that it's not going to prohibit him a little bit. But his presence makes a huge, huge difference. And it's a big issue even more so because Jonathan Garvin's on the COVID reserve list. He's not going to play. They brought in Orchard. He's on the practice squad now for depth. And like you said, if he has to get called up on game day, that could be a problem. Tipa Nalaya. I don't know. I'll have to ask you for your iteration of how to pronounce his name.
No, that's it.
Showed up on a couple snaps this past week. So, but, you know, it's the Rams, and the Rams are going to have a really good game plan. They want to win this game, too. It's, once again, on defense. Now, on the back end, the Packers have their secondary. Kevin King was sent to the bench in favor of Roswell Douglas, who seems to be the new starting outside corner opposite Eric Stokes until Jair Alexander comes back. Chandon Sullivan in the slot. You've got Adrian Amos, Darnell Savage, who should be ticked off and ready to catch some picks after dropping a big one in this last game. So the secondary is intact. This is where I think a lot of people are nervous about this game. Matt, is the defense, and can the defense slow down the Rams' offense? It's still Matt Stafford. The Packers are used to him. Stafford's still going to throw you one or two, so I hope the Packers got all their dropsies out of their system last week, because I think they're going to get a couple more opportunities this week, and that can be where the Packers get a, you know, they steal one because they're not favored in this game all of a sudden. They're 1-point dogs at home. And so apparently a victory is would be stealing it. That's how you do it, is you have to capitalize on turnovers, but you've got to get that pressure up front. They're going to need Kenny Clark, Dean Lowry, Lancaster, Slayton to do their part to clog up the middle, make it difficult for the Rams to try to run the football. Fortunately, it's not Dalvin Cook this week. That's always a tough ask for the Packers against Dalvin Cook, and he has had some really good games against them. But, okay, so those two guys, Kevin King, doubtful, Rashawn Gary, questionable, and this Packers defense is going to have their hands full against the Rams offense that's going to be looking for some vindication. McVay is going to look to get some quote-unquote revenge against LaFleur for the playoff loss last year. And once again, the Rams, they need to win this game. They've got a tough schedule the rest of the way out, and it's our only crack at Green Bay before the playoffs.
Hello, friends. We're getting to that point in the season where your survivor team is probably eliminated, your fantasy team that drafted Saquon Barkley and OBJ probably isn't doing the best, and maybe you're looking for something new to kickstart those fantasy football feelings. Well, let me tell you about Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that lets you sync your fantasy football league and bet on those matchups. One of my favorite aspects of Better Fantasy is that it offers prop betting, so even if you're in a state that hasn't legalized gambling yet, you can still get in on the action. This is a totally free-to-play game that you can download on your iPhone or Android today. And the absolute best news of all, you can use code PACKADAY when you create your account to receive 1,000 better credits when you start your account. That's Better Fantasy, BETTOR Fantasy, with promo code PACKADAY.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, no, and I think what you mentioned about Rashawn Gary, like, and you would say I would rather have a healthy player out there, whoever it is, but really, like, behind Rashawn, like, there's really not anyone else I'd rather have out there. Like, yeah. 80%, 90%, wherever he's at, like, he's going to have that Barry Bonds elbow guard on there, right? And it's just the fact that he's even not out for the year is incredible, because, like, when you saw that injury, it looked really, really bad, especially just the way he grimaced. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he was almost going to play last week is beyond me.
Crazy.
Like, I don't even understand how it was possible. And now it's like, well, he's probably going to come back and play this week, it seems like. And more power to him, man. Like, and they need him really, really bad. You hate to rush back a player too soon, but damn, man, we need you out there, because based off of what we have right now without Zadarius out there, with the way the interior's been playing, like, it's been pretty good, but they really need Rashawn at least to try to get after Matthew Stafford, to try to make him uncomfortable while he's trying to get it to these receivers they have in this high-powered offense. So Kevin King, there's no possible way he plays, in my opinion. It just doesn't seem like that. If it's one injury, it's a second injury for him. It never seems to stop with Kevin King, unfortunately. Rasul Douglas, I think, is a damn good player. He's surprised everyone. He's been one of those pieces that they kept adding throughout the entire offseason of, you know, these physical man-to-man receivers, and he's found his way. Obviously, he's probably gotten a little bit more praise from Packers fans and the coaching staff since that pick in the Arizona game, blunder or not, by AJ Green. He still sealed the game, and it was a huge play, but I don't feel really confident against him going up against Odell Beckham or Cooper Kupp. It seems like a tough matchup, even tougher than last week versus Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson. But this defense, they got to come back with some turnovers, right? Like you mentioned, Darnell Savage should be pretty pissed. Like and you mentioned it at the top of the show, and I'm glad it's kind of circling back here for me, is like, you don't blame the refs. I mean, there's games where I'll get mad at the refs and I'm like, that was a blown call. And maybe it does really 100% impact the game. But like, and if that happened in the last 2 minutes of the game, well, there's 58 minutes that you could have like avoided it.
Exactly.
And there really wasn't anything egregious in that game. Nothing, like, I felt like it was just a bad game overall. Mm-hmm. Like the announcers, the broadcast was really bad. There were some angles we didn't get to see, and there was stuff like that. But it was just one of those games where it's like, it's a division rivalry. It's in Minnesota. Like, you're going to have this happens all the time. Like, we're not immune to this. So that was the part of me that was like, I didn't really care all too much. But you had 3 or 4 interceptions that should have happened secondary. So let's figure those out. And yeah, I would hope Darnell's pissed off and wants to make a play, because that's really what it's going to come down to. If they can win the turnover battle, they have a chance. But the defense needs to come to play, and they're going to have Joe Barry's going to have a tough time going up against his former colleague.
Well, you know, the one guy I didn't mention was Kingsley Keke, and he's not on the injury report this week. So thank goodness, because head injuries are scary, and he played last week. Mm-hmm. And it was Keke's roughing the passer that negated the first interception that Savage had. And I guess it had Savage not tripped over his own 2 feet. There were some angles that showed that he might have actually housed it. And mm-hmm. that would have been devastating to see a pick six have to come back for a penalty. And it was a penalty by Kingsley Keke, but he got there. And I think these guys can get there and they can create some pressure. To your point, Matt, if they don't put pressure on Matt Stafford, I don't care if it's Jared Goff again. He is going to pick apart an NFL defense. You just can't give quarterbacks time in the NFL, and especially in a big game like this. I think Robert Woods being out does impact. Yes, Odell Beckham Jr. is still a guy you have to account for. Cooper Kupp is as good as they come, but there's no Robert Woods, and so their offense is changed. It's different. It's not going to be as effective as it would be with Woods out there. So I'm not saying Green Bay's task is any simpler, and they didn't have to contend with Kupp. He didn't play in the playoff game. He sat out mm-hmm. with an injury last year. He's a really, really good receiver, and the Packers have, you know, I mean, that they're going to have their struggles at times. He's not going to get shut down completely. You know, the football gods, I think, gave Green Bay a really, really big one against two really good receivers in Seattle. I don't know that you're going to see the Packers shut down a receiver or receiving duo the way that they did DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. If they can, then the Packers are going to win this game, because I don't think LA's offense is going to be able to generate what they need to in order to score enough points. And the Packers have been winning with you know, by keeping their opponents. I mean, they're winning, not even scoring 20. So it's one of those games, again, where the defense is going to have to show up. Now, Preston Smith has been a man possessed. I mean, this guy is absolutely playing like he is not done. He's played himself into, I want him back next year already. Like, I want Preston Smith back, and I don't remember if he's going to turn 30, 31, or whatever Goody's rule is as far as age and players and handing out contracts, but he's been so good for this team in the absence of Rashawn Gary, without Za'Darius Smith up front there. Whitney Mercilus goes down. He's really been kind of the one-man wrecking ball, him and Kenny Clark up front. Mm-hmm. You had Keke mm-hmm. in there, who's a good, you know, good at penetrating, getting through and getting into the backfield. If Rashawn can play, listen, Rashawn Gary wants to make a statement, and he doesn't want to lose this game. He's absolutely going to play his butt off. And so I have high expectations for the defense in this game. They're going to be up against it. I still think that's the Packers' best chance. I think offensively, I don't think Green Bay is just going to, you know, churn yards like through butter. I mean, Aaron Donald is healthy. That front is going to get after Aaron Rodgers. I think the defense and keeping it manageable and not letting the Rams get into the end zone is going to be Green Bay's best chance to win. I think the defense, is they're going to have to lean on the defense once again this week. You know, Joe Barry probably getting a little tired and exhausted, but this is what you sign up for when you're the coordinator or you're the head guy, is your unit has to be ready to do everything that they can do to be productive. And again, those safeties in the back end, just, you know, go full Seattle. They were so good, and they left some interceptions on the field against Seattle as well. They got to start catching those balls. Mm-hmm. And you know what? About a month ago, Savage himself tweeted, and I think this is part of the reason I was so frustrated on Sunday. Savage himself tweeted a month ago and said those dropped interceptions earlier in the season will be interceptions moving forward. Go Pack, go. And it's like, man, come on. Like, at some point, the on switch has to turn on. You got to catch those balls, and you got to finish that play. Now, it's easier said than done. Adam Thielen makes a great play, knocks the ball out on one. You get the other interceptions negated by a penalty. So I don't recall what the other one was that Savage should have had, and he dropped. I won't fault him for the Thielen one because Thielen just broke it up. He became the defender, mm-hmm. and he did what he needed to do. You got to finish that. You got to finish that last one. And Matt, I don't know what the rule is. It's interesting because for a wide receiver, if it was a wide receiver and he catches the ball and one knee is down, he has possession of the ball. Does he have to get an elbow or another knee down, or would that be considered a catch? But because he was a defensive player, he had to finish the play. I'm still not clear on the nuances between offense and defense there. I'm not saying that they botched the call. I don't think that they did.
Right.
But it's just to that point, like, there's guys that are healthy as we talk about all these injuries and we're kind of hanging our head a little bit and I'm guilty of it, but there are guys that are healthy. And on the back end of that defense, those guys are healthy. Stokes is back. You know, he made a couple of mistakes as you would expect against Justin Jefferson, who's a really good wide receiver. Cooper Kupp's going to make you pay if you make mistakes against him as well. If you leave spots in that zone, this is where having Devondre Campbell is so helpful because he's so smart. In the middle, Oren Burks, I think, is going to play a little bit in this game. On the outside, he'll help out a little bit. But these are not dynamic players, so they've got to be disciplined. That's the key, is you got to be disciplined. That's where you lose a little bit of that. When you start bringing in guys 35 through 53, the knowledge of the playbook, the speed of the game, the flow of the game, the discipline, that's where I think it's going to be challenging. So as far as my take on the defense and the Packers leaning on the defense, do you see it that way, or do you still think that this is going to be the Aaron Rodgers offensive light show, where it needs to be that if the Packers are going to win this game and they need to outscore the Rams?
They have to win the turnover battle, in my opinion. You got to keep this Rams defense or Rams offense off the field. Like, specifically too, like, they've, you know, since Robert Woods has been out, I think it's been one game, and then they had Odell Beckham come in and play, and he looked okay in his debut, but now they had a bye week, so they were able to implement some different plays for him and probably get him more up to speed on the offense. And you just got to get that Rams offense off the field. So the defense has to win the turnover battle. But I think you got to have another huge performance from Rodgers, like you did against the Vikings game. He had a great game statistically. If you watched, he kind of overthrew, obviously, that MVS a couple times, and they weren't clicking on all cylinders. But he's got to bring that performance, if not kick it up a notch, because this is a better team than the Vikings are. Granted, you're playing at home, you might have a little shot in the arm that way, but if I had to choose one, I'll probably say the defense, just because we've seen what the defense can do, like in the Arizona game. If they can really limit the possessions for a high-powered offense and win the turnover battle and make some timely plays, that'll happen. Maybe it is nice that they've played Stafford in the past and they can kind of know what to do to him and kind of rattle him up, but we kind of know the supporting cast of what the Detroit Lions have had out there and what the difference between the LA Rams has been for Matthew Stafford in his short career now with the Rams. So I'll shoot with the defense right now, but Aaron's got to bring it, because without him, this offense doesn't go at all.
Yeah, and Rodgers, toe gate. We got some clarity this week as far as what's going on with the toe. It's not COVID toe. It's actually a fractured pinky toe. Matt, have you ever fractured a toe?
I have. I actually hooked it. Oof. So I was running up from my parents' basement. I hooked it like on... Oof. The little landing thing, and like I didn't really know it. I looked down and was like, but I just like taped it, and it didn't really, I don't know, it wasn't like all that bad. It was like more of like towards the top of the toe, so it like, but if it's more towards the base of like where your foot is, I'm sure that would be really, really uncomfortable. And if, you know, I wasn't by any means playing professional football, and I'm sure you're worried about getting stepped on and stuff, but I'm sure the lower it is towards the base of your foot, it's got to hurt a lot more, because there's definitely more nerve endings down there, definitely more, who knows where that fracture really is, where mine was just like kind of like cracking the top of it, and he just taped it together. So, but all in all, it's still something super uncomfortable to try to get your footing right, your plant right, and you got to be worried every time you're going, you know, rolling out for a play action or a couple drops back there. You got to be worried about getting stepped on, because that holy shit, I can't even imagine how bad that would hurt.
No, it's got to be. And if it's, like you said, if it's towards the base of the foot, that's where you're putting weight on and your cut exactly. and turn, all that kind of stuff. This is another game where the Packers are going to have to decide to go into second half mode in the first half because they were just sleepwalking in half number one. They came alive in the second half. The offense was just in rhythm, getting the ball out. Rodgers has to do that. You know, he didn't practice this week. So once again, like, he's got to find a way to get himself in a rhythm early and quick. He's got to get rid of the ball fast. Tire that pass rush out and don't let them get home. Don't sit there and hold the ball. You can't hold the ball in the pocket. You're going to get crushed. And it's not only a matter of taking a sack, potentially losing the ball, but Rodgers puts himself in harm's way against a really physical defense. We saw what happened against Seattle. Packers got banged up. The Rams are a physical team. It's going to be another physical game. They're going to have to take care of themselves. So the offensive line, definitely going to have their work cut out for them. Yosh Nijm is going to be out there again. Billy Turner and the interior of the offensive line. So Royce Newman, Lucas Patrick, John Runyon Jr. We're going to see all those guys. And they're going to have their work cut out for them because this Rams front is really good. And on the back end, it's Jalen Ramsey. You talk about Devontae Adams. Getting him more involved, it's easier said than done. Jalen Ramsey has some pride too, and he remembers last game, and Devontae made a couple plays on him. He's going to be looking to shut him down and make a statement that he is, in fact, the best corner in the game, with the other potential best corner in the game standing on the other sideline, unfortunately not in uniform, in Jair Alexander, and trying to reclaim his crown as one of the better defenders in the league. And as far as you may be wondering on the Rams side of the equation, we haven't talked about any of their injuries because they don't have any. They only had three guys that were listed on the injury report. Leonard Floyd was limited on Thursday at a concussion. He is not listed as out, although the Friday designations have not come out as of recording time. And then Andrew Whitworth, veteran rest. So he looks like he's just kind of in Mercedes Lewis mode where he doesn't practice every day, but he will play. And Dante Dien, the corner, is not one of their – I don't think he's a starter. And he didn't practice on Wednesday, but he was limited on Thursday. So their injury list is looking a lot smaller than Green Bay's is. In fact, the designations are official. So Dion is questionable. Whitworth and Leonard Floyd are good to go. And wide receiver Ben Skronik with a back injury is listed as questionable. So those are your Rams injuries. They are coming in relatively healthy and off the bye. And this is where we turn to the part of the conversation where we talk about how this game is going to shake out. So Rams coming off a bye, coming to Lambeau Field, big game, road game. They're favored. They've got a little bit of mojo, a little bit of moxie behind them because now everybody's expecting them to get a big win against the Packers in a really tough place at Lambeau Field, where Green Bay has not lost a game since last year to the Vikings over a year ago. Matt, I already know the answer to this question because I listened to Final Dump like I should. But who knows? Maybe in the last day, your thoughts have changed a little bit. So how does this game shake out on Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field?
I mean, you kind of made a good case for me to change it, honestly. And unfortunately, the way the injury reports came out, it's kind of gotten a little bit worse since last night, too. So it's not... It didn't really help all that much. I think there is a path forward for the Packers to win this game. Unfortunately, I just don't see that happening. You kind of talked me off the ledge a little bit as far as like mailing it in and kind of getting right towards the bye week because you need this game. Like, this isn't super important, not only for the number one seed, but for the home field advantage throughout the majority of the playoffs. But I don't see how the Packers win this game. I really, really don't. And I've been wrong this year already. I was wrong on the San Francisco game. I believe I was wrong on the Arizona game as well. I was wrong on the Minnesota game. I didn't think they would lose that game. But at the end of the day, I have to go with the Rams coming off a bye week. I think they're going to be fully prepared. That's why their injury report is so low, because they're able to have all these guys have bounced back and, you know, maintain any, or I guess monitor any injuries they've had. The one saving grace for the Packers, and I'm sure this isn't the first time people have heard this stat this week, is Matt LaFleur has never lost back-to-back games. I don't know how long you can put, you know, weight into that. Eventually that pattern will fall apart because it's really, really tough to do that. And if he can continue that, he will be one of the most successful coaches in the NFL and in the history of the NFL. But end of the day, right now, I think it's 1.5. You said Caesars had it at 1. So who knows what it'll look like by the time the game's kicked off or even the time you're hearing this. But I got the Packers losing this one. 27-17 Rams. Probably a little bit too low of a score, to be honest. I think it could be a little bit higher for the Packers if they were able to maintain the run. But I think this offense for the Rams is clicking. It's going to be really, really fired up after this bye week. And I think with Odell Beckham in that offense for another week is only going to prove you know, how good they are. And I think they're going to have a chip on their shoulder, right? Like, especially Aaron Donald, he's got to be pissed off how it went last year. They were without Cooper Kupp last year. They were out without Jared Goff. And I think at the end of the day, like, they're going to have something to prove and want to say, like, you know what? Like, we were probably the better team last year. We just caught you at the wrong time with some injuries, and we're going to catch you this year with your injury. So I'm going to go 27-17 Rams.
Oof, man, tough. It's really tough. And it is a really tough game to call because it's such a pick 'em in it. And so it's, I'm not going to hopefully end it in a tie. That would be terrible. We definitely want the Packers to win this game. So I think if they're going to win, it's going to be very close, and it may come down to what we started the show off with, the foot of the kicker. It could come down to a Mason Crosby field goal at the end. The Packers are going to want the ball last. Hopefully they get a chance to do that. And I am still feeling, I have a hard time picking against Green Bay in this one because they're at home. If they were on the road, I would pick against. I won't be surprised if they don't win. But I've got a 24-23 score that's stuck in my head in favor of the Packers. So I'll go with Green Bay 24-23, but I think if they're going to do it, they're going to have to steal it. They're going to have to do exactly what you said, Matt, win the turnover battle. They may even need to get some points off a turnover, which is asking an awful lot in a game, in an NFL game, because it just doesn't happen very often. But if you'll recall last year, the Packers, one of their few pick six on the season, came against Matthew Stafford, although he was with the Lions. Shannon Sullivan took one to the house against him. So totally different team, different offense, different head coach, different scheme. But I'm looking at the ESPN playoff machine here. The Packers currently sit at the 2 seed with at 8-3, and Arizona's is 9-2. So if the Packers don't win this game, and if the if the Buccaneers beat the Colts on the road, then Tampa moves ahead into that 2 seed as the Packers move into their bye week. Now, there's a lot of football left to be played, but if you just look at the iterations and some of the rest of the way that things are going to shake out in the NFC, this is where the Packers start to slip and slide a little bit, and you don't want that to happen. I think this is one where they have to pull out all the stops and try to get this win, get the bye week, come back, because on the back end, their schedule, and you went through it a little earlier when we were talking about weather, is they've got they have the Bears and Vikings at Lambeau Field. They'll go to Detroit. Detroit is winless. They've got the Browns at Lambeau on Christmas. Cleveland has not played up to their potential. And they have a road game at Baltimore. So the Packers have a very manageable back end of their schedule to end out the season. This is a tough one, but it's one where they've really got to get it. And this reminds me of 2 years ago, Matt, when they had the Carolina Panthers going into their bye week in a game around this time. I think it was earlier November at Lambeau Field. I was actually there for that one. They were a little bit beat up, but they had to get it, and that was the one where it came down to the very end, and they had to keep Christian McCaffrey out of the end zone. Just get it done. Just get it done and find a way to win this game, because if they don't, the Packers are going to start to slide down that seating, and it's going to be tough, and they're going to have to hit the road come playoff time, but obviously we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here, so with the Thanksgiving holiday, Matt, I don't know if anything changes for you schedule-wise as far as your content. I assume Final Dump back on Friday of next week over to Game On Wisconsin.
Yeah, we got a little bye week action there, too. I don't know what the hell we're going to talk about. Hopefully it's some positivity around this team and maybe a little recap from the year, and maybe there's some better injury news. I've been really hoping for that the last couple of weeks. I'm still shocked that we haven't gotten this team fully healthy yet. Maybe it'll all come into fruition towards the end of December, but Final Dump will be next week, and we'll have a little bye week to get prepared for and kind of analyze the playoff machine like you're talking about. The Cardinals are on a bye week too this week too, so that kind of factors things into that as well. But it's going to be a tough run at the end of the stretch here, because we're seeing across the entire league upsets every week, and just how top heavy some of these conferences are. Who knows how it's going to shake out? It's going to come down to the final week.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll have the game recap up at Game On Wisconsin after the Packers and Rams on Sunday, and Quick Slants podcast will be out first thing Monday morning, talking about the game that was at Lambeau Field as the Packers head into their very much needed bye week. So thanks everybody for riding along. If anybody's listening out there, especially those overseas, send us those weather reports.
Oh yeah,
send us the weather. We'll make sure to read it on the show and make sure we get you a shout out there. Thanks, everybody, for following along. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving and enjoys the rest of their Thanksgiving weekend. As always, stay warm, stay safe, and go Pack Go.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.